of all the services we have had since 1969 till now, I think this is the saddest that I have felt, the most distressed and the most burdened I have felt ever. When Brother Moidu brought that word in tongues, something seemed to have just torn me up, and the words began to come to my soul, dreadful words. But you know, it's so hard to continue warning people, and sometimes you don't tell them what to do. Sometimes people get to know there's something serious. Hallelujah. But as Brother Egler began to give the Lord began to give the interpretation through him, the burden got heavier, because the interpretation was coming through. Then we hear another prophecy, another word, another word, another word, and they all seem to be adding up. And I remembered why God sent me here. Many years ago, it's between 15 and 20 years ago, after I had received the Lord and received the fullness and began to work in the ministry, God showed me a vision of the United States in destruction. The cities were torn up, barren. There was distress everywhere. I don't know what could have done that, to be honest with you. I don't know what could have done that. It's like, not like a bomb, just like a bomb would do, but like people would do when they are rampaging wild. And this was the thing I saw. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go to the United States with a message. Just before this destruction, I will send you. Because I wanted to go right away. And that was between 15 and 20 years ago. I wanted to come right away. He said, no, just before the destruction. And then we began to work among the natives. We worked through the hills and through the mountains. Much suffering, much pain. We went on for 20 long years. And God said nothing more. But God never forgets. And so we began to find better circumstances. And I went back into the teaching school, and at the same time ministering. And so we had a school in Montego Bay, and I was the principal for the school. We owned the school. It was a private high school. In Jamaica, you can own a high school. And so we owned this high school, and my wife was teaching too, and I was teaching, my son was teaching. And a burden began to come on me. A burden began to come over me. We were making plans to buy new land, to build a big school, to push on. We even had an American group that wanted to go into the school business with us. We had beautiful teenagers, about 300 of them, or almost 300 of them. And we felt that we could do a work for God here. For some were being saved, and we had prayers every morning, beautiful singing and praying every day, morning and evening, before school dismissed. And we thought it could be God, but something was wrong. And I couldn't stand the burden any longer. I called a church, one of your churches here, and I said, take the school. They agreed to take it. We made an inventory. We gave, handed over everything to them and quit and went home. I said, okay, now I'm going to look after my farm. I'm going to get this little 8-acre farm well fixed up. And you know, on 8 acres, you can rear a lot of chickens. And things like that you can do on 8 acres of land. It wasn't real agricultural land. It was just land we could rear chickens and pigs. So we decided to go into chickens and pigs. And we were doing well because we had orders that we didn't keep them. We just killed and delivered. And so God said to me, now is the time. You remember what I told you many years ago? I said, yes, Lord. Now is the time. Now is the time. I got so frightened and so excited over the situation that I ran out and I left chickens and pigs according to the orders of God just 2 weeks to delivery. As a matter of fact, the chickens were ready to be delivered. The pigs were 2 weeks from delivery. And I had to leave them. And God said his sheep are more valuable than chickens and pigs. And so I left. Praise be to God. I thought maybe judgment was going to fall immediate. I thought at that time we had 2 years. I think that was in 1970, maybe. 69, yeah. Yeah, well, it was 70 we came out. We thought that maybe we just had enough time to give the message, well, maybe by 2 years. But in that same year, I was in Fort Lauderdale, and I was sitting one morning. I was working outside. The Spirit just said, me get inside. Put down the lawnmower, went inside, and sat down, held my head down, you know, just meditating. And I heard somebody come through the door. I knew instinctively that it was a spirit. I knew also that if I looked up to see who it was, the person would disappear. Kept holding my head down. I saw his feet part. Man came, he stood before me. He took a piece of paper. He pushed the paper in my face like this. And the paper was a foolscap, long sheet, white, written from top to bottom with black ink. Couldn't read it. It was some language I couldn't read. I didn't see any character that I could make out. And I was baffled. He said, don't worry about that. He pulled it back. He said, that's the part. He pushed another one into my face, and this had two lines. Way up the top, in black ink, written. Again, I couldn't read the two lines, but they were even above where you'd put a headline. You know, if you have a board like this, you'd put the headline like here, leave a little space, no space, two lines up there. And he said, that's the tribulation. And then I looked up. I knew his message was over. I looked up, he was gone. I calculated that the two lines written on the blank sheet of paper called the tribulation was that the first two lines had been written in the tribulation, and that means the great tribulation had started. That was sometime near the end of April 1970. I also calculated that by 1977 to the beginning of 1978, that the end of the tribulation would come and all the destruction would come to pass. That's my calculation. God didn't tell me that. He just showed me the tribulation. So I began to preach both what God told me and my calculation. Amen. I figured that by the middle of by the end of 1973, beginning of 1974, that the beast and the false prophet would be made manifest. They might have been. And I am seriously thinking that some of us are going to look back and say, how stupid we were not to have known. Yeah. I think we're going to look back and say, oh my, we were real stupid not to have picked it up from the first day in November, December 1973. Amen. But so it is. We have no sure word. You can't preach if you don't have a sure word. Amen. At least not me. I won't preach unless I have a sure word. Hallelujah. And then we come along unto this point of time, 1974, and we know it's late. We know time has deceived us. We don't know what time it is. We don't know it's late. And yet, this evening here, I sit down here and I said, Lord, what will you bring forth, you know, today? And just as about Brother Jerry began to speak, the Lord was saying, speak about the fifth seal. And I turn the Bible around, and I here comes all this word pertaining to this destruction. And let me show you the word that the Lord showed me. Turn with me to Revelation 6. And we begin at the first verse, so that we might understand the context. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and beheld, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get an explanation of this from the Word of God before I try to explain. Turn your Bible to Zechariah 6. Turn backwards. Zechariah a prophet 500 years before Jesus Christ had a vision. Amen. 500 years before Jesus had a vision. And this revelation, Brother John, he was speaking maybe some 80 years after Jesus, or 70 years after Jesus. And this is the story, what the prophet said. And I turned, lifted up mine eyes, and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains are mountains of brass. Judgment. Irreversible. Irrefutable. Cannot be changed. That's what this means. Mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot, black horses. Hallelujah. And in the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, grizzled bay horses. And I answered unto the angel that talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said unto me, "These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of the earth. The black horses, which are therein, go forth into the north country. And the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth towards the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, those that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Amen. This is 500 years before Jesus. This is almost 2,500 years ago, and the prophecy has come to pass, in that the darkness which covers Russia and the North country came forth, and they have really quieted the move of the Spirit in Russia, in China, in Eastern Europe, and they are trying to come west. Amen. I want you to see that. But there was one horse who was permitted to walk to and fro through the earth. He didn't go any special place. The black horse went to the north, and the white horse went after him, because if the white horse didn't go after him, there wouldn't be left any Christians in Russia. Amen. I want you to turn back to Revelation and look at this black horse, and this horse that walks to and fro through the earth. And let us see what we're talking about. Verse 5, And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Darkness cover the land, said God, and gross darkness the people. And this is the meaning of the black horse. They reject Jesus Christ, and they accept all manner of darkness, some type of darkness. You wouldn't believe that intelligent people could accept it. Like, for instance, a theory that man came from an amoeba, and that he's developing to a more perfect being from some imperfect thing that wasn't human. Nobody would believe that with sense. And yet they do believe it. And they know that there's no gene from any other creature that can breed with the human race and produce anything. They know that there are genetical barriers that mark off animals and plants. And you cannot breed one animal with another. Some animals, and you cannot breed one plant with another. You have got to get into that specific barrier where they can breed, and you reach a point and you get a hybrid, and that's where it stops. You deal with hybrid seeds, brother. You see, and even hybrid seeds are a little better. They still might produce something, but a mule won't produce anything. Amen. A mule is totally barren. He has no reproductive organs. Amen. And men know that. I've worked for years in this department. We know that there is a thing called atavism, or throwback, wherein any animal that is used in the parent stock to produce any other animal, every now and then along the line, hundreds of years after, you're going to have a throwback. You use a white animal and a black animal to produce another color, and all of a sudden, turning up way down the line, a black animal comes out, or a white animal comes out. And that's what they call throwback, and that's a scientific fact. A fact that has been established scientifically. They cannot gainsay that. And yet no woman ever had a monkey. You know why? Because no monkey ever had a woman. That's a whole story. God made man. But the darkness is so great. The darkness is in high places. Hallelujah. A man, a doctor, look at a human creature, the most magnificent machinery that you could ever look at, and he cannot produce one finger. And he fails to admit a greater intelligence than his own. Many doctors are atheists. They say they don't believe in God. Then what are they doing? Why is it the human thing functions? Amen. They don't know. But, and man becomes a fool in his knowledge. And this is what we talk about, darkness. It's so thick. It's so thick that you can feel it. If you notice that this darkness was called down in Egypt by Moses upon Pharaoh, because they were so spiritually benighted that the spirits of darkness came down on them. And the Bible said the darkness was so thick it could be felt. Now we find that this darkness persists in our educational system, so much so that they are teaching the young kids from the kindergarten stage, they are teaching them sex. Mm-hmm. We know that kids have no right with that thing. They have no right with that. Kids are supposed to be free. Amen. They didn't need that burden. They had no urge. Hallelujah. But our educational system believes they do need it. So they are teaching them darkness. Whole system in darkness. Man forgets God. And in the darkness, they will be selling barley and wine and oil. And these, to me, represent the children of God. Gideon was seen in a vision as a barley cake rolling down into the camp of the enemy. And wheat is always referred to as the children of God. And wine is referred to as the word of God. And oil as the Spirit of God. So we have come to the stage where all these are, they are selling. And let me tell you what's going to happen right now. Very soon, it's possible that the Pope will receive the Holy Ghost. Or at least he's going to start talking in tongues. Somebody's going to sell it to him. Amen. And he's going to catch all the blind people to be one with him. And the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church will join together under one head. Because this is what the Bible says. And they'll become one beast. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Darkness cover the land, and gross darkness the people. Amen. But immediately after this, we come to the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, and by the way, you're asking yourself the question, what is the seal? The seal is a mystery of God's revelation to his people. Pardon me. And every time God opens a revelation to his people, the devil lets loose a little more. I'm going to prove it to you when we get down to the seventh chapter. I'll show you something there. When you hear of a trumpet blowing, it means a message going forth. The seal opened, the mystery of the gospel, which was hid in time past, said Brother Paul, from the saints, but is now revealed unto even the babes and sucklings. Hallelujah. And so as the seals open, the enemy let loose something. And when he had opened the first seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Hallelujah. I want you to see this with me. This is what I'm talking about. I believe this is what the Lord showed me in vision that brought me to the United States. He said that one fourth of the earth will be killed with the sword, with hunger, and with death. How can you be killed with death? That means they'll go to hell. It's by their souls. The lost souls they're talking about. What's that? Is that 3 billion? Bless God. That's about what the population of the world is. God says, "750 million will be killed." Let's look again at what we're talking about. If this is speaking in the natural, if a fort here means a natural fort. And when he had opened the fourth seal, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Hallelujah. Somebody think we won't be here during the tribulation. Amen. I think that is a lie of the devil to deceive people and lull them into complacency. And the worst part about it I believe that some of us here are lulled into complacency. I'll soon come to that. That's why the message came, and that's why we felt such a burden, hallelujah, with the message here this evening. I believe that some of us are lulled into complacency. I told some brethren that I think the Lord had said that we must get out of the cities. And he told me point blank, this brother, friend of mine, he told me, he said, I resent it. I really resent that word. You mean to say God can't protect us in the cities? God not asking you what he can do or what he can't do. God is saying he's the director of an army, and if he said go, you go. If he says stay, you better stay. But you better hear what he says. Some people hide their ears and don't want to hear. Hey, now. I think what we as a people should do is to go to God and ask him, did you say that? What do you mean for me to do? Amen. I think we need to get some answers. And I think we need to stop hiding from truth. Because God told me so once. And I didn't take it lightly, but I just was timid to tell the people of God. Told me another time, I still was timid, and I started preaching it, dropping it here and there, but still not pressing it. Then he came and told me again, and this time I turned around to him and asked him what was in my mind. Say, Lord, why? Can't you protect us anywhere we are? Why is it you are moving us out of the city? He said that the people of God are not ready for what's coming. Amen. He said, what's going to get them ready is what's coming. Amen. Did you hear that? The people of God, some of them, you've got to frighten them and get them real serious before they get moving. And he said, what's going to get them ready is what's coming. Therefore, if what's coming hit them before they're ready, they will be going. So, if they are out of the direct part of what's coming, and they see it, they will arise to the occasion and begin to get serious with God. Hallelujah. And so, if this word is in the natural, which I believe it is, then 750 million people will be killed. Russia has about 400 million. China, 700 million. America, 300 million. Praise be to God. If 700 million people are killed one time in this world, it will be the first in the history of the world, and that will be such a disaster that the world, it is only God that would make the world survive. Yes, because it has to be something horrible. I can't conceive any war except an atomic war that would destroy 750 million people. Of course, he said, some will die of hunger, and some will die of the sword, and some will die of the beasts of the earth, oppression. And we'll be thrown into prison. See, I don't know what's coming. It is going to have to be something very big. And the worst part about it is that the Lord has been saying it will come suddenly. So suddenly that it will stun people. People won't be able to conceive it in their minds. It will be so stunning and so sudden that tonight all is well. We all go to bed, and in the morning, hell break loose, and the whole life changed. Everybody's lifestyle changed immediately. And this is what I see. This is what the Bible says. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the beast say, he said, a pale horse, his name, the name of the horse, His name that sat on the horse was Death. Death was taking a ride. And Hell followed with him. Death knocked them down and Hell catched them. Power was given unto them. You notice that the scripture here, to over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, with the beasts of the earth. Praise be to God. This is a picture, a very, very dark picture I'm showing you. We could expand it by going into the details, because this is a summary. The sixth chapter of Revelation is a summary. And the other chapters go into the details of each seal, in detail what's going to happen in each seal. See? So what we're reading is just a summary. Amen. Now I'm telling you, some people don't want to read the real thing. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Many Christians will be slain. And I think many Christians will be slain particularly because they are in the outer court. You ask me, what is the outer court? I say the outer court is those who are dwelling in the realm of sin and in the realm of self. You don't have to commit any bigger sin than just look about yourself and your business and your things, and don't care too much about the body of Christ, and you will find that you fall into an outer court pattern, a set of people who are in the outer court, in a place where God can't defend you. How could you use such words towards God? God can't defend you. God cannot defend you in the outer court. There's no defense for the outer court. I'll show it to you in the Bible afterwards. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood and them that dwell on the earth?" White robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Praise God. One vision one night. God called me and showed me the last lap of this story. I was in France, standing like on a street corner. And the Lord said to me, "It will begin here. It will begin here." He said, "And then it will shift to England. And then it will go to Germany." He said, "And then it will take the whole Europe." He said, "And then the rest of the world will follow." And I was wondering in my heart, "It what? It what, Lord?" So I said nothing. Then he pulled out a long sheet of paper, and I saw the list of the dead. And the dates were on it every day. So many killed, so many killed, so many killed. And they were Christians. And all I could remember from the paper, it were two long sheets of paper about life. And all I could remember from the paper was one day, 1,800. That was the highest number I saw. And one day, 1,500. Praise God. And I didn't know what to make of it, but as if the Spirit of God took me through the land, to the Christians, and it was great sadness. Some had even lost their faith. Some believe that this, you know, God had forsaken them. Some were just wondering what could have happened. How could God give them so many great and wonderful promises? And all of a sudden, it seemed that the enemy was destroying and there was no God to help them. That's the way they felt. But there was a group of people who didn't feel that way, who knew exactly what was happening and knew what they were doing. And they weren't touched, they weren't hurt. But they were ministering and bringing life to the other people in the prisons, in the asylums, and in the various places where they were imprisoned. Then God came to these people who were standing, who had the knowledge, and he said to them, now is the time. And they looked one upon another, and joy flooded their hearts, and they went up and delivered themselves to be killed. And the world was glad, very glad to get them, because they seemed to be people who could not be apprehended. And then these people were slain, and there was thick darkness all over the world. Now I saw this darkness naturally. I believe this darkness could be spiritual darkness, because the people, the only hope that the people had was these men and women who were ministering to them, that these three could not be conquered, and they thought that they would just rise up one day and take over the kingdom. But this, I'm giving you a vision. I mean, I'm not telling you something I made up in my own mind. And then these people were slain. And after they were slain, the darkness continued for a while. In the vision, I don't know that it was 3.5 days. But from the Bible, I see it's 3.5 days. Then, suddenly, the spirit of life entered into them and they got up. And the day began to light. And that was the most beautiful morning I'd ever seen, whether in vision or otherwise. You can just imagine what a Jamaican morning can be like, with the green pastures, the beautiful flowers, and the birds singing, thousands and thousands of them of all colors, flitting from tree to tree, singing. And this was greater, because the birds seemed to have been rejoicing. And I looked at the trees, and the trees were saying something. Now, I don't know how the trees could, but they were. And they were rejoicing. And the prisons broke open, and people came rushing into the street, regardless of their gods. Their gods just stood there with their mouths wide open. And these people were just shouting for joy. For God had at last brought forth the great deliverance that the Bible told us about. And the sons of God were about to take over the kingdom. That's what I saw in the vision. Amen. But then this is what I think to be the fifth seal and the ending of it. For then will the music begin. The sons of God will begin to exercise their authority, and the world will begin to fight them. And Jesus Christ will come out of them and really do things to these people of the world. And this is what I see to be the battle of Armageddon. Regardless of how you had it in your mind, I've heard preachers say that the United States is going to get up and to shoot down Russia, and Israel and the United States will conquer the world, and that is the battle of Armageddon. But I didn't have that vision. I had a vision that it is the spiritual force from within that you have right now that will rise up and take charge of the earth and deliver humanity once and for all. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. What am I saying? Am I saying that the hope of glory is Christ in you? Sure. If you don't have Christ, we're lost. Don't you see? If Christ is not in you, the world is lost. Because God said, if he did not send Elijah before that great and dreadful day to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, then he would have come and smitten the earth with a curse. The whole world would be destroyed. But it is the Christ in you that is the hope. Hallelujah, of glory. This is what I see. Let me just explain a few points, then I take my seat. We turn from Revelation here to Revelation 11. I believe that we were not ready, and therefore God allowed a thing like Watergate to intervene in American politics and to hold back certain forces which were coming forth. I believe the children of God are being made ready now by the word which they are receiving. Amen. So that they will get serious. I want to remind you that God went and took a man like Dave Wilkerson, who had made a name for himself in Teen Challenge and been respected by a certain strata then of Christians, you know, well respected. God hit him with a vision, and he saw a vision of tribulation. Amen. I don't know if he knows yet that he was preaching that we are in the tribulation. But this is what I heard from his vision. Amen. So here we are facing a situation where God is trying to alert his people, and the people are taking other doctrines to disalert themselves, if there is such a word. Hallelujah. And there was given a reed like unto rod to measure the people of God and them that worship therein. He said, but the outer court of the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Amen. And I asked God, which one of the 42 months you're talking about? But he said the last one. He said the last one. So anytime you see this begin to happen, you know it's the last 42 months you have. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200 and 60 days clothed in sackcloth. 1,260 days is exactly 42 months. Isn't that something? Praise be to God. And 42 months is 3.5 years. And if we go back to Daniel, we will see that it's going to take exactly that time. And Daniel 7, verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against the saints, until the Ancient of Days came. So you see, our beating will continue until the Christ comes forth in us. This is what is going to stop the onward rush of the devil, because God has given us the power to do it. I am sure everyone here has the experience of speaking to a demon spirit and the spirit running away from you, of rebuking him, because God said, ye shall cast out devils. Well, if you have that power, that is a sign to you to show you that you will have the power to even stop the devil in his tribulation force. until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. When are you going to get the victory? The last 3.5 years. The last 42 months. The last 1,260 days. Isn't that something? It's only left to you now to decide which is the last. It's very simple when we start getting the victory. Yeah. Amen. And as the way I see world affairs going, to my mind, the stage is set for the takeover of the beast. God says, Jesus said to us, that's the last sign we need. So when we see that sign, then get up into the mountains. Do you know how to get up into the mountains? Amen. That's the point, you know. Because you will sit down here and say, okay, I'm going to get up into the mountains when I see the beast come forth, or the beast begin to come forth. And you will see it, and you'll try to get up into the mountains and find out that you have the wrong method. Amen. See, God said, get up into the mountains, and them that are in Judea. You want us to read that? Let's just read what he says we should do. I'll close right here. But let's just read chapter 24 of Matthew. He gave us a few injunctions here. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. That means those of you who are spiritually on low ground, it's time for you to get up into God. You said God tell you to fast and pray. Well, you better start climbing. That's for you. Amen. Start climbing that way. Now, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. A house is a man-made mountain. A house is a mountain made by man. A high place made by man. God says that you must not come down. Even if you are up in the mountain there, while you are on a high spot, just keep climbing up. Don't worry to come down. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Those who are working for God, doing something for the Lord, it's not time to quit now. Not time to quit now. Don't worry to go and take your clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Amen. Those of you who have burdens, carrying burdens, something is taking life out of you. Like the child sucks life from its mother's breast. You have got something in your life sucking your life out, feeding on you. You are a foster mother to something. God Almighty said, she's sorry for you if you can't get rid of that thing now. And pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. These words couldn't be natural winter he's talking about, couldn't be natural child he's talking about, couldn't be natural mountain and housetop. Don't you see they're all spiritual things God's talking about? You know why? When there is winter up here, it's summer down south. it's summer down there, it's winter up here. When it's winter down there, it's summer up here. So, if God is writing this Bible for the whole world, then the word winter would have to have another meaning to be meaningful to anybody. And I'm telling you what the meaning. In Russia, a few years ago, some brethren were in an underground cellar meeting together, praising God. Suddenly a big, massive hand appeared on the wall, began to write. And it wrote in Russian, 10 things ye must observe now. And people's eyes popped out of their head, sat down fixed. He wrote, it is winter. Hearts are cold. He said, flee from this condition. How would you like for Jesus to come at Christmas time? When you're all involved with the Christmas tree, and with your baking, and with your candies, and with your lights, and with all the little things. That was a blow under the belt. But how would you like for Jesus to come? To Jesus to come when you are really low down in the spirit. When you feel, you know, you have just not been able to be right. Sometimes in our lives we are not right. We know it. That's the time you wouldn't like Jesus to come. Well, God said, pray that you are flying. But not in the time when your heart is cold. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what he's saying. He said, neither on the Sabbath day, neither on the day when you have decided that you're going to give salvation a rest, neither the time when you decide that you're going to give the Lord a break, if you've taken a break, a Sabbath. He says here, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except, he said, those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Bless his holy name. Amen. This is what we're talking about. We're not frightening you. We're just telling you that what they wrote in the Bible, some people could afford not to read it in past years, but we can't afford it because we are right there. We are right there now, and I believe that the Spirit of God came into this place this evening, hallelujah, to alert us to something that is to come very shortly. God bless you all in the name of Jesus, and we could just discuss the matter a little if we want to. Hallelujah. As the Spirit leads. Hallelujah.
Brother Scales made a statement about something about the Holy Spirit, that he's taken about self. What does it mean? Someone was self in the Spirit. What does he mean by self?
Well, I was only using the terms in the Bible. I have seen people gone to other people and tell him about this Holy Spirit and get him to speak in tongues and the person not even saved. See, it's like a salesman putting over a deal. See, I've seen people going about saying they have the Holy Spirit and they don't have the Holy Spirit more than the man in the moon. Somebody sell it to them. Sell them an idea and they take the idea and run off. I've been a minister of a Pentecostal church and seen men and women jumping and praising God and speaking tongues and dancing in the Spirit who don't have the Spirit but manifesting by a false spirit, another spirit, posing as a Holy Spirit. Amen. Seen men healing under the power of another spirit, great miracles, great healing under the power of another spirit and not the Holy Spirit. There's a school you can go to over in California that teach you how to operate in another spirit with miracles following signs. So the word used in the scripture, I'm thinking of Revelation 17, where the merchants began to weep. And they say, oh, she, Babylon, was so good to them, gave them all these delicacies and so on. And they spoke of the selling and buying and selling of the oil and the wine and the wheat and the fine purple and the dips and that and the other and the souls of men. Hallelujah. Is it 18? Yes. No. Now, in that case, in the tribulation, it is the tribulation that is going to give the people their deliverance. Because tribulation worketh patience, and God's going to let them go and pay for it. Yes, sir. The only way to be delivered under certain circumstances is to go out there and suffer and comfort. See, in other words, one scripture said they love not their lives unto the death, and they seal their testimony with their blood. And that will happen to some brethren who cannot live for God, but they can die for God. You found it there? Oh. Yes, Revelation 18.
If you fall on the stone, you shall be broken. Fall on the stone and be broken.
Yeah.
And don't allow the stone to fall on the Lord.
Yes, the Lord said that. He said, if you fall on the stone, you will be broken. But if the stone falls on you, it will grind you to powder, something like that.
Brother, do you believe we're in the fifth seal now, or coming into it?
No, I'm coming into it. As a matter of fact, we are in the fourth seal, going into the fifth seal. The end of the fourth seal is going to move right in when death and hell let loose on the earth, and then will the sons of God really begin to pray.
In the 8th verse in the 6th chapter, where it says, to kill the sword and the hunger and death, does the sword there mean the word?
No, I think that sword would be referring to humanity, the natural destructive weapons.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, but you see, I don't think it said with.
Pardon. I believe it's speaking there of armament.
Yes, of armament. It didn't say the sword, which is the word of God, you know. I will look it up. Yeah, I look it up in the Greek. Maybe there's some indication there, but I am almost certain that that is saying that it's the natural sword warfare. And of course, you notice that there is going to be a famine. I mean, I'm not saying now what these men are saying. They are saying, the world food men are saying that there is going to be a famine, a widespread famine, not just a famine to those who are in famine now, like the Indians and the Africans, Bangladesh, but that there is going to be a famine throughout the whole earth, and men will just die by the hundred. Yes?
I believe John even gives people that aren't Christians the same. Now, I'm not sure about this man, but in the natural, God gives to many people good knowledge if they will use it. Last year, this man, I don't know his name, I don't have all the information yet, I've known him in the next 30 days, but he's being used by our Army and Air Force and many truck patch men, and they check with him on the date when we will have frost. I got this information yesterday, the frost date coming up that he has put out, and there'll be guidelines to go by, and he said if it's right, it's right, if it's wrong, it's wrong. He don't change. June 15th in Canada, March in Mississippi, in Illinois, 17th, 18th, 23rd of May, and the Gulf States, 23rd and 24th, and there's more that I didn't get. But you see, in the natural, God gives us warning. We had a frost last year, and he hit it to the day.
Yeah.
This last fall.
Well, some of these do work by other spirits, too.
There might be other spirits. I have no idea. But there might be I think God can tell you those things.
Yes, I know God can tell you. And
I'm yet while ago, I felt that when the message was given, my interpretation, I had to cross my chest. I don't have these things too often, but I knew something was there, and I felt very strongly. And we had to get our messages from God. We had to speak and work with it.
Yes, sir. I do feel that the people have been taking the word and not going into it. We're not chewing cud. See, we're just taking it in, we believe it, and praise God, I'm in it, I believe it, you know, but we're not really taking it serious enough to go into it and go before God and say, God, show me, you know.
Yes, Brother Bill, in the 23rd chapter of Matthew 24, 23, it says, you know, they say Christ is there, don't go.
Yes.
It doesn't mean the cunning Christ, it means people that would pretend to have the spirit of Christ in them.
Yeah, because you see, for instance, the guru comes around, right. And he said he's Christ, he's the Son of God, and he's representing God. You must pray to him, and he'll pass it on to God. And these days we are seeing a lot of these people going around saying they're Christ. As a matter of fact, some end time groups are now preaching that they are Christ. I mean, end time groups that have been teaching, they may come here sometime, they're teaching that they are Christ. Now, and they show you it in the scripture too. And they say you are Christ. They show you in the scripture. No. If you have the spirit of Christ, they say you're Christ. And you've got to be able to stand against that. But that verse means that Christ is not going to come and stand before you like this. He said, the next verse, verse 24 says, for as a lightning, okay, as a lightning shines in one part of heaven and is seen in the other, so is also the coming of the Son of Man. So you won't have to guess. Nobody will have to come tell you that this is Christ. You, no matter where you are, you'll see him, you'll hear him, just as if you were out there. This is what he's saying. He'll appear to every son of God. You don't have to guess. So don't believe anybody who comes and say he's Christ. Is there anything else? Yeah.
Sean Francis is moving in the paper last Thursday morning at Gilead. On the first page, the Central Banking Commission of the government is allowing banks going out to be able to have stores, groceries, department stores, hook up directly with a computer and you buy with a credit card to where you do not have any money. It takes it off your account automatically or put your deposit on, and shows how fast we're going to move towards that market. Now, that passes.
Yeah.
The stores are not considered bankers, and it's all okay.
Yeah. Praise God. We expected it long ago, because they have the system ready. As I say, I thought that it might have been the Watergate preoccupation that had held back the whole process of government. Said, when ye shall see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. There is no way that we should be just going on normally and said we're just tagging along. Yes?
That is one of the signs of the time. The Bible also tells us that the love of many will wax cold. And if you recall when you first came here back 4 years ago, there seemed to be a great unity of love among us. I hesitate to use the word saint. I asked the other day, when is a saint a saint? And that's true. But that love amongst the people, amongst the Christians, is not bad. It's not like
a Yeah, well, what happens is that the Lord spoke a word to us some months ago and said, this is the time of the separating. You see, and the enemy seemed to be gathering his people into little bundles. And so we see people forming into bundles that they like. You see, and people are going into their little bundles. So you have to thank God. As I was telling Brother Jerry yesterday, I say, you don't quarrel with the garbage man when he comes around. He's the one that's keeping your place clean. What would you do with all the garbage if we had it all stacked up in the house? So we praise God for even that. But this upheaval and this tearing and this separation is going to all work out so that those who are really of God will be together in spirit and in truth.
What is the best way to if a teenager will if I'm aware of this?
Tell them point blank. You don't need to go around the bush anymore, because the world is giving it to them. Give it to them point blank, and let them know where you stand, and when they're ready to run, they'll know right where to run to. They're not as foolish as some of us think they are.
I was never really curious to witness to it if it was coming up, but I'm afraid it's coming up to hear it. But then I reached the point that I just couldn't deny how I felt about Jesus and my mom. I just had to come out and tell him, and I know that's hard. I was real glad when I got mentioned. I said that now we're trying to kill some of the things that are spiritual, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
And I just praise the Lord that even
though they persecute me,
you
know, I know it's in their God. Let alone. Sure. Yeah. Definitely. Praise the Lord. Kind of when you're starting to start looking at the Lord.
What did you mean by say moving out of the city?
Well, I just meant that the Lord showed me that the children of God should be outside of the cities. I don't know how I could put any better. I had in this vision that we had moved out of the city, finally got some of the brethren to move out. And when we moved out of the city went up in flames. And God called to us and said, you are still too near to the city. No, I don't know. Maybe you should make your own.
My whole family, except my parents, have moved out into acreage. Jerry and myself and my other brother.
Yeah. I think God is taking care of it. Mm-hmm. By letting you do the things, you know.
Yeah.
And at time, he's going to deal with every family, every person. The greatest problem is to hear from God, you see. Because, of course, if it's a matter of running, you could run right into the path of what you're running from. Mm-hmm. Since you don't know where it's coming from. There's one thing about running, you must be sure where you run before you run. So it's not a case of running, it's a case of hearing God. My contention with you is that you're not hearing from God. You're not bringing messages, say, God say so and so, because you're taking it easy. Is there some other report you want to give us, somebody?
In all the body meetings that we've attended, even in the past year, I don't see the body as a whole ministering to the small children like they do to the teenagers or the adults. And yet, this past month, I have seen and heard of many of the small children who are undergoing much persecution, much illness, just all kinds of things coming against them. And I think it's time that, I really feel burdened for this, that the body should encourage the small children to be prayed for the body to minister to them as a whole, and not necessarily just in families. I know mothers and families are doing what they can. About a year ago, or less than that, there was a man that came through told our group over there, fortunately I wasn't there, but I heard about it, that not to worry about the children or to do anything about the little children because God was just going to take care of them. But I see more and more this persecution of the little ones, and I just want to encourage the bodies to really, the little children are bashful and they're not going to jump up and say, I want you to minister to me like the adults do. And I really would like to just encourage all the bodies to really teach and encourage the small children and to minister to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she had to stand up in front of her class just this last week because the sixth grade reader they were reading out of it has occult type stories in it. Mm-hmm. One of the names of the stories is called Witch Witch, and it's about, one is about a devil and a woman, and the devil gets a woman's dance and she runs off to hell with him or something. Mm-hmm. And Gay stood up and put her book down and said, I'm not going to read this. And the teacher didn't call me, but I was waiting for the phone to ring, and I thought if she did, I would take a stand against this. And I just wonder how far can I go in taking a stand. I feel like I'm fighting City Hall and by myself. So, I don't know. Gay knows the difference. And I prayed for her the one morning she went to school, and I just pleaded the blood of Jesus over her mind that nothing would, you know, could come against her. And fortunately, they haven't got back into that reader, but the stories are there. And the sad part about it is her teacher is a good Baptist, and she knows better. And I think I think these stories, there's only about three of them, isn't there, in the whole book? She could just skip over these, but she didn't. And Gay came home very, very upset, emotionally upset over it.
Well, did you people find out why the people in North Carolina are fighting so hard against the school system? Do you have that over here too?
No.
I mean,
no problem here.
I don't think parents are aware of what's in the school.
I don't think so.
I have something that happened to us. Our boy brought home a book about the evil spirit, the library book, and the Kenneth first grader. And Mary and I saw it, and although I'm connected to the school system here, I took it immediately to the assistant superintendent of school and said, we will not, we don't believe in this, this book should be taken off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And he took the matter. We did it somewhat quietly because we didn't want to stir up the, blame the teacher, right, this sort of thing. And he appreciated it, went through the proper channels, and they took it off the bookshelf. And I would encourage all to do this sort of thing. First go through the proper channels and express why you feel it's wrong. And most often they'll be willing to avoid the situation.
They really, if you just go to the teacher first, because we had two experiences of this where in junior high they study mythology with all the gods and goddesses and things. And the year before I went through it with one child and it was really bad news. And so the next year I was determined I was going to go through it with the next one. And I wrote a note to the teacher asking if this child could just excuse this line of study. And she sent the book home and let me censor it and go through it. And we got together on it and they were able to really, it was just real nice terms and to be able to come to terms on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year he was supposed to learn a poem in school for a literature contest all on the fear of the dark and the demons that came and appeared to this boy in the dark. It was just really gross. And I went to the teacher and asked about it, and he was excused from learning it. And they've been very cooperative so far. But you have to be aware of what's going on.
So don't they teach, have any occult classes in your schools here?
Not yet.
They had them over in Monticello, you know.
But not here.
High school, they had a study on that, at which time last year I kept my daughter Joy home from high school because they studied ESP and clairvoyance, telepathy, and all that.
Mm-hmm. This is Phil. I got a problem because Selma, 4-H Federation member, I'm required to attend the 4-H meetings, and they have a program for me, and they picked out for one of the programs in January. This Palmer is going to call and speak. I was wondering what I should do about that.
Don't go.
Well, I figure the most you can do is just drop out. Just don't be involved.
It might be noticeable to find out that there are only six companies in this country that publish textbooks at all. And so, therefore, the numbers of people who write textbooks are also limited, and they work for these companies. And over the last 15 years, the entire philosophy of providing textbooks to the colleges and to the schools have changed to the point that they are now no longer providing just simple books, as in our time. They sell the schools a program that they will follow. Which means more money for the companies, but at the same time, the schools buy a program, part of which they don't see at the time they buy it. They buy a program that might last 6 years. They see what they're going to have in the first year, and the remaining five will be provided to them later on, as this company develops the curriculum for that subject. So they do not control the curriculum any longer, and there are wide divergences now beginning to occur and can be noticed between what a child learns in school today versus what we learned 20 or 30 years ago. It's unfortunate, but true.
Well, I know, for instance, a certain man who is one of the world's renowned sorcerers. He's one of your textbook writers.
Wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah, because I've seen books of sorcery by him. And I've seen what it could do in my country. And yet, he was one of the foremost writers of textbooks that we used to get from America.